Many of you have read that story before. So, why was there a big crowd? Yep, good. Okay, well, we'll stick with that one for a minute. Why was there a big crowd, do we think, gathered there? Let's have a little bit of audience participation here. Why was there a big crowd, do we think? They'd come to listen to Jesus. Why?
Because he had interesting things to say.
Yeah.
Different to other things that were being taught.
Yeah. I really feel that, you know, sometimes hearing somebody stand at the front and speak for 20 minutes is not sort of supernatural. No, it's not very natural. Sorry, not supernatural. So it's really nice if I can get you engaged in this. Actually, what they always say about a Bible passage is you need to put it in context. In other words, you need to know what's happened beforehand, really, and maybe what's happened afterwards. Well, if you look in chapter 4 of Luke, you will see a quick flick through. It starts with the temptations of Jesus. He goes into the wilderness. He goes in full of the Holy Spirit and comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit, returns to Nazareth in Galilee, and he preaches and says that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon him and that he's come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. You all know that passage from Isaiah. And then he rolled up the scroll and then he taught, like Phil said, he taught not in the way that the normal rabbis or teachers taught. He had an authority, a profoundness about his teaching that people were going, wow, there's something special about this guy. And then he was healing people. He actually healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and he healed many other people. In chapter 4, it tells us that he drives out an evil spirit. And people are seeing all this. And his popularity and his magnetism were infectious. And people were like, oh, where's he going now? We'll follow him. And that's why there was such this big crowd. So he'd announced his ministry, he'd taught with authority, he'd healed people, he'd preached the good news throughout Galilee. No wonder there was a big crowd. Now the Lake of Gennesaret is the same lake as the Lake of Galilee, or the Lake of Tiberias, just different names for the same lake. And this is sort of Jesus's home area. So we're going to look briefly at three things. Okay, if we can have the next slide. Okay, you've got to give me a little bit of poetic license here, because first of all, Jesus captures Simon Peter's boat, then he captures his attention, and finally he captures Simon Peter's heart. So that's where we're going. Okay, so we leave that one on, Phil, that slide. So, first of all, Jesus captures Simon Peter's boat. Well, he doesn't really capture it, but he uses Simon Peter's boat as a pulpit. Because you can imagine this crowd, he needs to be a little bit away from them so they can all hear him. He must have had an amazing diction and voice so that all the crowd could hear him. But you imagine Simon Peter, he must have felt a little bit privileged, a little bit chuffed that Jesus had, imagine that, oh, Jesus has chosen my boat. You know, choose your boat, he chose my boat. And so he must have felt quite privileged, and he was in the boat. So he was probably quite attentive to what was going on. He was certainly a captive audience, because what could he do other than listen to Jesus? He could either stay in the boat and listen, or he could get out of the boat and wade to shore, which would have been quite rude, I think, really. So, and sometimes Jesus has to get us in a place on our own to get our attention. You know, we're away from the crowd, because it can be quite a distraction, can't it, being in a crowd of people, all the noise. And Jesus had something he wanted to do with Simon Peter that needed him to be away from the crowd. This wasn't the first time that Jesus had called the disciples. If we look in Mark chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 4, they'd already been called, but we'll look a little bit more about that in a minute or two. Because Jesus wanted these men to devote their whole lives to his service, not just be one of the crowd or follow him occasionally. And that's what he wants for us. Not that we're just occasional followers. Or I'll perhaps follow Jesus this week, but not next week. He wants us to be followers all the time. And this was a much more powerful call. So, Jesus is in Simon Peter's boat. He's a captive audience. So Jesus captures his attention. First of all, if you read the passage, it says, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to... No, before that, sorry. Verse 3, he got into one of the boats, the one belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Just get me a little way away from the crowd, Simon. So just push me out. Now, was that a difficult thing for him to do? Do you think that was difficult for Simon? Just to put the boat out a little way? No, I don't think it was. But he was going to ask him to do something a bit more challenging in a minute or two. Because it says, when he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. So Simon had been obedient in the easy thing. Now Jesus was going to ask him to do something a lot more difficult or a lot more controversial or a lot more strange or a lot stranger. And sometimes Jesus asks us to do something that's not that difficult to see whether he can trust us to do something a lot more demanding. And it says, doesn't it, in the parable of the talents, which we're not going to look at, but it's in Matthew 25, you know, the master goes away and he gives various amounts of money to his servants. And when he comes back, two of them have doubled their money. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a smaller thing, so now I can trust you with something bigger. Now, what would have happened, do you think, if Peter hadn't done the first thing? Jesus wouldn't have been able to trust him with the bigger demand, would he? Because he had to get out, he had to push the boat out. Now, why do you think Jesus says, he's finished speaking, he says to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Okay, why did that seem a pretty wild, stupid maybe thing for Jesus to ask Peter to do? Why do we think that was?
Peter was a professional fisherman. He knew what he was doing.
Exactly, Tom. And who was Jesus? He was a carpenter. Not sure that carpenters know a lot about fishing, but yeah. What else might Peter have been thinking? Put out into the deep? Well, the thing is, it might have been a ridiculous idea because Jesus was a carpenter, as we've established. He was a great teacher, a miracle worker, in fact. You know, Simon Peter had seen him heal his mother-in-law. But Peter was an experienced fisherman and he knew two things. First of all, he knew that you don't fish in the daytime, you fish at night. And secondly, he knew that you didn't fish in the deep water, you fish in the shallow water, because that's where the fish are. But he also knew that they'd been out all night and they hadn't caught anything. Now, and the other thing was, they just cleaned their net. Did they really want to get them all dirty again? And to top it all, he was tired. They'd been fishing all night. So Peter could have made all these excuses. I've worked all night. I'm tired. I know a lot more about fishing than you do. I'm not going to do it. You know, the crowds are frightening all the fish away. You know, we shouldn't fish in the daytime. We should fish at night. And I've just cleaned my net. He could have made all those excuses. Do you know, sometimes I think when Jesus asks us to do something, we make excuses. It's not that we are disrespecting Jesus. We just don't think we're up to the job, or we don't think he knows best. We make excuses like, I'm too busy. I'm not clever enough. I'm not brave enough. I'm not skilled in that area. Or, I don't have time. Or, what, me? No, I couldn't do that. Or, ask somebody else. Or, there's Phil there. He's good at that. I couldn't do that. I can hear you. You're relating to me. I'm like that. Sometimes, are we even listening? Because Peter had to listen to what Jesus was saying. And sometimes it's not about doing more, it's about doing less. Sometimes God is saying, look at your schedule, you're too busy. And he's been saying that to me recently because, you know, I know I've been too busy and I'm still probably too busy. But one of the things that I have been doing is being a speaker for Tear Fund. I've been doing it for about 5 years now. And I just felt God was saying, it's time to put that down. You know, you're doing, it's not a bad thing, but it might stop you doing the rest more effectively. And when I said to my husband, I said, you know, I think that's what God's saying. He said, yeah, he said, I've been thinking it's a bit of a distraction from the main thing that God's calling you to do. So sometimes God's asking us to stop doing things in order to do the rest more effectively. But the thing is, what happened? Let's go back to the story. Simon Peter answered, Master, you let Jesus know, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the net. He trusted Jesus. And sometimes we just have to step out and trust Jesus. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but that we've got to trust that Jesus knows best. Because sometimes we look at our circumstances and we say, I can't do it now because I'm too old, I'm too young, I've got financial commitments. I just wanted us to look at a couple of people, like people who are alive today, because sometimes we can look at the Bible and say, well, those people aren't alive today. If we can have the next slide. Now, this guy, Nick Vujicic, I hope I've, Vujicic, sorry, now, I want to look at these two people because you would, on the surface, you would say they, you know, what God asked them to do was impossible. They're just not, their circumstances are not fitting for the job. This guy was born without any arms or legs. You might have heard his story before. If we can have the next slide. This is his family, his wife and his family. He didn't say, he's an Australian Christian. He's now an amazing evangelist, motivational speaker. He's got a family. And his parents encouraged him. He could have just like, I can't, there's nothing, I'm not having any arms or legs. There's nothing I can do for God. But he didn't. He listened to God. And even without arms and legs, he's had to swim. He's got family. He's an amazing, he swims, surfs, dives, plays soccer. As I say, he's dedicated his life to God. But on the surface of it, you'd think, no way. The other person I want to look at is a lady called Jackie Pullinger, which some of you might have heard of. She, when she was a very young lady, 22, she decided she wanted to work for God. And she thought, I think God wants me to go to Africa. But actually, and she tried all the missionary organisations and they were like, you're too young, you've got no experience, you are not, you know, you're not up for the job. But she was persistent. She didn't give up. And so she got on a boat with she had some encouragement from her minister. And so she, in 1966, she got on a boat and she got off at Hong Kong. And she had $10 and she didn't know anybody really, but she managed to get a job as a primary school teacher in the walled city, Kowloon, the walled city, which was then, I've got a couple of pictures there. You can see you can see the rest of Hong Kong behind, and it was a slum, a huge slum area, and she got a job there as a primary school teacher. And not only was it a slum, but it's where all the drug barons and drug addicts lived and worked and plied their trade. And she went to work there as a 22-year-old. Now, that almost seemed impossible, but she was prepared to step out for God. And she saw many of the drug addicts come off drugs, and she established an organisation called St. Stephen's Society, which provided rehabilitation homes for recovering addicts and prostitutes and gang members, which was eventually recognised by the Chinese government and supported by the Chinese government. And Jackie Pullinger is still alive today, and she's still out there doing work with the drug addicts, seeing some amazing transformations in lives, and she's been doing that for many, many years. So if God's asking us to do something, let's say yes. Not I don't think I can. Let's step out in with courage. Finally, we'll go back. Let's have the next slide because it's got the points on it, I think. Finally, Jesus captures Peter's heart. Because what happens when Peter's obedient, what happens? They get such a large number of fish that their nets begin to break. Now, that was an amazing miracle because, as Peter said, you know, they've been out all night and they caught nothing. But you notice when they got blessed, what did they do? They called their partners. They didn't keep the blessing to themselves. When we get blessed, let's not keep it to ourselves. Let us be channels of blessing to other people. Now, Peter knew that this was an absolute miracle, but he'd already been called by Jesus, but he and his friends had gone back to fishing. But this time, and he'd seen Jesus heal his mother-in-law and lots of other people, but now he saw Jesus as the master over nature. Only someone who could control nature could have achieved this. And his response was, he falls down on his knees, says, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." He called him master before, and now he calls him Lord. He recognised his own sinful state. Before, when Jesus had called him, I think Jesus, he'd recognised the call on his life, but he hadn't given his heart to Jesus. He hadn't completely given his heart to Jesus. And I can relate to that because when I was in my teens and Billy Graham was coming over here, the great late Billy Graham, I went to one of his rallies and it really touched my heart because I'd been a churchgoer since I was about three, but it was more about the doing the church things rather than committing my life to Jesus. And Jesus, you know, there was a call on my life then as a teenager. And I started investigating being baptised, but then I went to university and it all sort of took a back seat. And it wasn't until I was in my early 30s that actually I thought, do you know, I think there's more to life than what I'm experiencing. I mean, there was no big crisis in my life. I had a husband, two lovely children, everything seemed to be on the surface, seemed to be going all right. But I felt that I wanted to go back to church. And one night in a communion service, Jesus really spoke to me and I gave my life to Jesus completely. The first time it was like I knew there was a call on my life, but went back to doing the old things. But the second time, and this is what happened to Peter. He knew he was a sinner. He knew that he needed Jesus. He knew that he needed to give up everything and follow Jesus. Now, what an amazing thing that was. This was his livelihood. And he's obviously married because he's got a mother-in-law. But he's prepared to give up all of that to follow Jesus. Now, I think Jesus would say the same to us that he said to Simon Peter, "Don't be afraid." Now, when Jesus says to you, "Don't be afraid," he probably knows you're going to be a bit nervous about whatever he's going to ask you to do. But he said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." And I think he's saying that to each one of us today, whether we're, whatever age we are, He's saying, don't be afraid. I'm calling you to be fishers of men. In Matthew 28, this I'm drawing to a conclusion. Jesus said in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, which we all know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Faith requires action. So, Jesus is calling each one of us, wherever we are, to be fishers of men. So in conclusion, there's a few challenges I'd like to leave us, because I think, you know, we need to apply the Bible to our lives, don't we? So over the next slide, Phil. Oh, I've got a couple of quotes. I've forgotten about those. Yeah, I think this isn't Bible. Well, that one's got a Bible quote. But when God calls you to something, he's not always calling you to succeed. He's calling you to obey. The success of the calling is up to him. The obedience is up to you. How true is that in the case of Peter? And if God is calling you to it, he will equip you for it. And I really believe that. May the God of peace equip you with every good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. A friend of mine, you know, sometimes we say, oh no, I can't afford it, or, you know, she used to say, do you know, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. And, you know, that's it's not the Bible, but it's a natty little phrase that I think it's absolutely true. So, in conclusion, is Jesus trying to get your attention? Is there something that he wants to say to you? Have you been making excuses for not doing what God is asking you to do? Say yes to him. Because if he's asking you to do it, he will provide the resources, even though you may not think you've got them at the moment. How and where and with whom is Christ Jesus asking you to be a fisher of men or women or children? And are you being a blessing, a channel of blessing? Now, there's a lot there to take in. And I guess probably out of all those things, one thing may have struck you. Is God trying to get your attention? Are you being a channel of blessing? To think about over this week and to pray about. So let's just pray, shall we? Father God, I thank you for your presence with us. Thank you that you speak to us through your word, because your word is alive and active. Father God, if you're trying to get our attention, Lord, help us to listen more clearly. If you're asking us to do something, help us to be willing to be obedient. Help us to be channels of your blessing to others, and to be messengers of the good news wherever you send us. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think we've got a song to finish, Phil.
This is my desire to